Okay, today is Chof Hei Teves, which the Gemara and even earlier in Megillas Tainus brings that it used to be a special day of celebration because of an incident of a meeting between Shimon HaTzadik and Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, I assume people heard of. Shimon HaTzadik was the last of the, we say in Pirkei Avos, Shimon HaTzadik Hoyam Mishirei Knesses HaGadoyla. The Bezdin, in the beginning of the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, led by Ezra, had 120 Chachomim, led by Ezra, and the last one of them was Shimon HaTzadik, who was also a Kohen Gadol. We mentioned him in Pirkei Avos, that Shimon HaTzadik says, Al Shloisha Dvarim Ha'olam Ha'imed, the world stands on three things, Al HaTorah, Val HaVeda, Val Gemilas Chasadim, on Torah, on the work in the Beis HaMikdash, or davening, or and acts of kindness. Anyway, on this day of the 25th of Teves, there was a special meeting between Shimon HaTzadik and Alexander the Great, which mentioned in Megillas Tainus and later in Gemara Yuma, which was the cause of a major celebration. And we're doing it now from a Gemara in Yuma, Samach Tes Amar Aleph. The Gemara in Yuma brings Tanya, Be'esrim v'chamisha b'teves yoyim har grizimu. The 25th of Teves was known as Yoim Har Grizim, the day of Har Grizim. Har Grizim is a place where the Givonim, the Kusim, built a Beis HaMikdash. The Kusim, for those who are not familiar, the Kusim were a group of when Sanherib exiled the Aseres Hashvatim, so he took the Jews to who knows where, and he brought Goyim from Kus to be in Eretz Yisrael. And these Kusim, where they were initially attacked by lions, and they were Megayer, but they kept a mixed religion. They kept a lot of mitzvahs, and they also served Avodah Zarah, and they had a very mixed religion. So these Kusim were from the time that the Jews came back to the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Kusim wanted to join with the Jewish people, and Yehoshua Kohen Gadol and Zerubbabel and later Ezra and Nehemiah refused their joining, which in any way was quite clear that the Kusim had negative intentions. So the Kusim, when Alexander the Great took over the power over Eretz Yisrael, they advised Alexander the Great to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kusim had a whole plan. Shebikshu Kusim es basically kenu me Alexandris Mukton lahachrivei. They asked Alexander Mukton, he's called Mukton from Macedonia, to permission. They wanted him to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Vinosnu lohem. And the Kusim told terrible things about the Jewish people. And Alexander the Great approved. Yes, he will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Bo vahidiyu es Shimon HaTzadik. They came and they told Shimon HaTzadik, who was the Kohen Gadol, that the Kusim got permission that Alexander the Great will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Ma also, what did Shimon HaTzadik do? Lovash Bigdei Kohuna, he put on the Kohen Gadol's garments. Vinis Ateif Bigdei Kohuna, he wrapped himself in the Bigdei Kohen Gadol. Umeyakire Yerushalayim Ima, he took some of the special people from Yerushalayim with him. They went, the whole Jewish delegation. Vavukai Shel'ir Bideihem, and they went with torches of fire. They are going on one side of the mountain of the road, and the others are going on the other side, which means they were, on one hand, Alexander the Great is on one side of the mountain or whatever, and the road, and the Yidden led by Shimon HaTzadik on the other side, until dawn came started getting light. Kivan Sha'ola Amuda Shachar, when it became dawn, and Alexander the Great was able to see this delegation, this Jewish delegation, Omar Lahem, he asked the Kusim who were with him, Mi Halolu, who are these people on the other side of the road, the other side of the mountain? Omru Lois, so the Kusim tell Alexander the Great, Yehudim Shemarduba, these are the Jews who have rebelled against you. Even Shihigiyu Antripus, they came to a place called Antripus. Zorachochama, the sun rose, and then you had better vision. Upogu zebozen, they met each other. Kiven Sherong Shimon HaTzadik, when Alexander the Great saw Shimon HaTzadik, Yorad mi merkaftoi vehishtachaveloi. He got down. Alexander the Great was the greatest king of the world of those days. He had captured most of the known world of that time. And he went off his chariot and bowed down to Shimon HaTzadik. Omru loi, so his servant said to Alexander the Great, Melech godol kemoischa, a king as great as you, yishtachavel Yehudi zeh, is he going to bow to this Jew? Omar lohem, so Alexander the Great said to them, Demusti yuknoi shalzem min atzachas lefonai beveis milchamti. Every time I go to war, I see an image of this Jew in Beis Milchamti as I'm about to go to war. If you look in the Marsha paragraph, he says, the Mustik Yoyne, he says, the Marsha brings Malach mit Musay, Bab Milchamon, and Atseach Lefonov. Every time Alexander the Great would go to war, he would have an angel come looking exactly like Shimon HaTzadik, who would give him encouragement and tell him he's going to win the war. Omar Lohems, Alexander the Great now asks this Jewish delegation, led by Shimon HaTzadik, and he asks them, I'm just trying to get to the right spot. One second.
A little bit down. No?
Still not.
Yeah, okay.
Still not.
That's it. Well,
okay. Anyway, Omar Lahem, so he says to them, Mi halongu, who are these people? Omru loy kusim halongu shaimdim lefanecha. These are the, one second, I didn't do it right. Omar Lahem, lamabasim, why have you come?
Yeah.
Omru, they said, Efshar bayis shemis paulim bayalecha, this Beis HaMikdash. We, every day in the Beis HaMikdash, we daven for the welfare of Alexander the Great. And we daven every day for your kingdom. It shouldn't be destroyed. So it's the davening in the Beis HaMikdash that's protecting you and protecting your kingdom. If you're winning wars, it's because we daven for you every day. Goyim are tricking you to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And through this, they're going to you'll destroy your whole empire. Omar Lohem, so he says to them, Mi halongu, who are these people that you say are trying to destroy your Beis HaMikdash? And we're soon going to see a Marsha, exactly what is he trying to say, because Alexander the Great obviously knows who's trying to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So they said, Omru Loi, they said, Kusim halongu, it is these Kusim, She'aimdim lefanecha, the Kusim that are standing right before you. And they are the ones who got permission from you, got an order from you to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Omar Lohem, Alexander the Great said to the Jewish delegation, Harei heim misurim biyadeichem, the delegation of Kusim who are here to convince me to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, I am giving them over in your hands. You could do with them whatever you want. Miyad, and we're going to soon see Marsha and Ben Yoyada, the significance of the punishment that these Kusim were given, but Nokvum Biikveim, they drilled through their heels, Vitolum, and they hung them, Bizinve Suseim, to the tails of their horses, Vahayum Megadim Oison, and they were schlepping them, they were pulling them, Alakaitzim Val Habarkonim, on the thorns, Achigil Lahar Grisim, till they came to Har Grisim, where the Kusim had made their Beis HaMikdash. Kivin Shehigiyun, which they still have a Beis HaMikdash of Kusim on Har Grizim today. Kivin Shehigiyun la Har Grizim, when they came to Har Grizim, Harashuhu, they plowed it, Vizoruhu Karshinim, and they planted it, Karshinim, I'm not very good at Hebrew, but Karshinim is some sort of a vegetable which they planted, and they basically destroyed the Kusim's Beis HaMikdash, Kederech Shebikshu Lasais LeBeis HaLikenu, exactly what the Kusim wanted to do to our Beis HaMikdash, so they destroyed their place in Har Grizim. The Oisai Hayoim, in that day that Alexander the Great saved the Beis HaMikdash and decided to and allowed the Jewish people to destroy the place of the Kusim, that was made into a yomtiv, and that was Chaf Hei Tevis, which for many during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, Chaf Hei Tevis, the 25th of Tevis, which is today, was a great festival for the saving of the Beis Hamikdash. Now, the Marsha actually, one second just to see, here, that's the end of the story. And there is another Medrash, which mentions that Alexander the Great asked Shimon HaTzadik that can you have a statue for mine in the Beis HaMikdash? And Shimon HaTzadik said, that's not a good idea, because even if we make a statue of you, it'll last as long as you're the king. As soon as you're gone, the statue will be gone. I'll get you something permanent. And what I'll do for you, Shimon HaTzadik said, that every boy who will be born in the next year will be named Alexander. And since Jewish people name after their Zaydas, the name Alexander will remain by the Jewish people for all generations. And to this day, there are many Jewish children and adults named Alexander. And that is because of the promise that Shimon HaTzadik made to Alexander the Great, that for sparing the Beis HaMikdash, and instead of a statue in the Beis HaMikdash, every Jewish boy born that year would be named Alexander. Now, still on this Gemara, the Marsha, Agodes Marsha, Bayis Shemis Palim Bayalecha, Inyonei Shehakusim Hilshinu Ala Yehudim Shemordu Bamelech. The Kusim said that the Jewish people rebelled against the king Be'esek HaMikdash, the Kusim had previously tattled when Kodesh, the Persian king, allowed the building of the Beis HaMikdash. It was the Kusim who convinced him against it, as it says in Sefer Nehemiah. And that's why they Yehudim not so. So the Jews came to justify themselves, the Marsha brings. The Enochain, it's not true. What the Kusim said that we are rebelling against you is not true. On the contrary, Adarabba, hey, mispalalim boy b'shloima shel malchus. In the Beis HaMikdash, every day we daven for the welfare of the government. As Shloime says b'tfilosei, v'gam el anochri, that if a guy comes to daven in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem should fulfill all his requests. So on the contrary, the Beis HaMikdash is the best protection for Alexander the Great and the Greek Empire. Now, the Ben Yehoyada, who's one of the top Pirushim on Agadis, brings, who are these Kusim? The Ben Yehoyada brings, obviously Alexander the Great knew that it was the Kusim who were tattling and provoking him to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to know, was it only Kusim, or was some of his servants, some of the Macedonian Greeks were also involved with the Kusim in this Malshinos, in this plan to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? So the Jewish people answered, no, it's only the Kusim. And now we learn on Nokvum Beikveim. They drilled through their heels. So the Ben Yehoyada brings, why did they do this? Because the snake is generally trying to get, starting from the time of the Eitz Hadas, the snake is trying to get Adam and Chava in trouble. And it says after the sin of the Eitz Hadas, eating from the tree of knowledge, it says over there in Bereishis, Hu Yishuf Choroish, the snake will bite you with his head, and V'ata Tishufenu Okev, and you will hit him with a heel. Therefore, Nokvum Beikveihem, that's why they drilled through their heels, and they tung the heels in the tails of the horses. So it ends up that their head will be, which it says in general, they acted like a snake, and a snake bites with his head, and therefore their head will be rolling on the ground on the stones. Because generally he brings in the Ben Yehoyada that Sitra Achas, the opposing side of Klipa, has nourishment from the tail, and that's why they hung them by the tails of the horses. What is the significance that they took Har Gerizim and planted it in Karshinim? So the word Karshinin, the Ben Yehoyada brings, has two shins. Shinin, two shins. Shinin is Karshinin. Karshinin. And we're soon going to see. So he brings, Shinin is two shins. The word Nochosh, which is a snake, has a shin. And the word Satan, the Satan is the angel that comes and prosecutes against the Jewish people. So both Nachash and Satan both have a shin. And we have a pasuk in Tehillim. Shinei Rishoyim Shibarta. You broke the, literally it means you broke the teeth of the wicked. However, the Ben Yehoyada is translating it, the shinin of the wicked. It's those wicked who are tattling and prosecuting and trying to get Jewish people in trouble. And that is the shin of Nochosh and the shin of Satan. So the shinin, these shins that are prosecuting Jewish people, these shins you broke. And he says, why specifically did they plant kar shinim? The word kar, the Ben Yehoyada brings, means to cut, koitzer. As he quotes the Oruch dictionary written by Reb Nosson Bar Yechiel. He was 10 years the senior of Rashi in Italy, and he wrote the first Talmudic dictionary, and he brings it in the word kar, he brings the ksar ruach. The word kar is to cut. And here, they planted it kar shinim, which shows to cut the shinim, to cut out the prosecutors. And that is how the Ben Yehoyada explains the significance of planting karshinin. And that's also how he translates the pasuk. Baruch Hashem, asher lo nisononim teref lishineim. This is that blessed Hashem who hasn't allowed us to be ripped. Mishineim literally is their teeth. But the Ben Yehoyada is translating shineim means their shinin, which are the shins that prosecute. To get to something easier, this is the story of Chof Hei Tevis as brought in the Gemara Yuma. Now, as today, for hundreds of years, Jews used to celebrate the victory of Chof Hei Tevis, which was with Alexander the Great. We're going to go through a few other stories in Gemara Sanhedrin, in Gemara Talmud, in Gemara Nazir, about Alexander the Great.
One question.
Yes.
You mentioned the significance of how Grizim. And you didn't tell us.
Har Gerizim is where the Kusim made a Beis Hamikdash, and they still to this
isn't it
day,
the place Har Klala?
Har Gerizim, when the Jewish people first came to Eretz Yisrael, v'nosato es habrocha al Har Gerizim ves haklolo al Har Ebal. So the Jewish people were between the two mountains, between Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, and they faced Har Gerizim. The Levim were in the middle, and they would face Har Gerizim and give the bracha, and they would face Har Evel and give the klala. That's mentioned in Parshas Re'eh. But later, the Kusim built a Beis HaMikdash on Har Gerizim in competition to Yerushalayim. So during Alexander the Great's time, this Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but later the Kusim rebuilt it, and it still exists to some level to this day. They still have something on Har Gerizim where they make a Korban Pesach every Erev Pesach for the small number of Kusim that are still around. Now, Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik Aleph Omur Aleph has an amazing story about Alexander the Great. He says, also this story, as the previous story, is quoted from Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis is the first book of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a calendar which includes all the Yom Tovim of the time of the second Beis HaMikdash and all the fast days of the time in the second Beis HaMikdash. We just recently in Yarchei Kala had a shiur about the fast days of the 8th and 9th of Tevis, which are mentioned in Megillas Tainis and also in the Siddur. But anyway, now we would like to focus on the 24th of Nisan. Alexander the Great may, because he had captured the whole Middle East, he made a world court that anybody who has, like similar to the UN today, that anybody who has a complaint against another nation can come to his court. And on the 24th of Nisan, there was a big case in Alexander the Great's court against the Jewish people. And Tanu Rabbanon be'esrim v'arba b'nisan isnetilu dimusnoi miYehuda v'Yerushalayim. The protesters were removed from Yehuda and Yerushalayim. And we are going to tell the story of a major court case that took place on the 24th of Nisan. Kishebo b'nei Africa, lodun im Yisrael lefnei Alexandris muktun, when the people of Africa came to judge with the Jewish people for a court case. To Alexander muktun, he's called muktun, because he's from Macedonia, muktun, Omrulai, so these Africans argued, Eretz Kenan shalonuhu. Eretz Kenan is ours. Diksiv, as it says, Eretz Kenan ligvulaysel. The land of Canaan and its boundaries. And we are descendants of Canaan. Rashi brings that these Africans, they were descendants of the Girgashi, which of the seven nations of Canaan. When the Jewish people came, it says the Girgashi fled to Africa. And they are descendants of the Canaanim. So their argument is, Canaan avu adahanu in shehava. Canaan is our father, our ancestor. And since it's the land of Canaan, we deserve the land of Eretz Yisrael. Amar lehu Gevia ben Psisa. Gevia ben Psisa was a very wise Jew who was hunchbacked. And he said to the Chachamim, Tnu li reshus, give me permission. Ve'eilech ve'odun imohim, I will go and argue with them. Lefnei Alexandros Mukton, in front of Alexander of Macedonian. Im yinatzchuni, if they win a victory over me, imru say, hedyet shebanu nitzachtem. The person you won over, he's a simple guy, he's a hunchback. If I win a victory over them, Imru Lahem, say to them, Toiras Moshe Nitzachaschem. The Torah of Moshe won a victory. Nosnu Loyreshus, the sages gave permission to this Gevia ben Psisa, Baholach Vidoni Mohim. And Gevia ben Psisa went to have judgment with these Africans. Omar Lohem, Gevia ben Psisa says to the Africans, you guys claim the land that you're descendants of Canaan, and the land of Israel was given to the Canaanim. Where does it say such a thing? Where are you getting it from? So they said, what? Where does it say such a thing? It's in the Torah. Take a Chumash, take a Sefer Torah, and you'll see it's called all over Eretz Canaan. I will also bring a proof from Torah. Shenemar, as it says, by Yomer, Noach said, Oror Canaan, Canaan is cursed. Eved Avodim Yelechav, he will be a slave to his brothers. You guys claim you come from Canaan, so you're our slaves. Eved Shekonon Nechosim, slave acquires assets. Eved Lemi, who does the Eved belong to? Unechosim Lemi, and who does the assets belong to? Veloyoid, and furthermore, it's already many years you haven't served us. So where have you guys as slaves? Where have you been all these years? Amar lehen Alexandros Malka, Alexander the king said, Hechziru loy teshuva. He told the Africans, answer the question. Amru loy, so the African said, Tno lonu zman shloisha yomim. Give us 3 days, we'll come up with the answer. Nostu lehem zman, they gave the Africans time. Bodku, they checked, they couldn't find any answer. They got into big trouble. It looks like Miyad Baruchu, they fled because they knew if they stay, not just they're going to lose their claims, they're going to lose everything. They left their fields totally planted. Their vineyards are planted. And that year was a Shemitah year. So the Jewish people were lacking in food, and because of all these Africans who ran away, they suddenly had all the produce of their fields. So this is the main miracle that happened on the 24th of Nisan. Now later, there were two other court cases with two other people, with two other groups, and we celebrate all three of them on the 24th of Nisan. Shuv Pam Achas, there was another case, Bo B'nei Mitzrayim Lodunim Yisrael, Lefnei Alexandros Mukton. The Egyptians came for judgment in front of Alexander the Macedonian, Alexander the Great. Omru Loi, they said to him, Hareo Omer, it says in the Pasuk, Hashem tells Moshe to tell the Jewish people to go borrow valuables from all the Egyptians. Hashem Nasan Eschainom, Beinei Mitzrayim. Hashem gave the favor of the people in the eyes of the Hashem nasan eschein ha'om b'nei Mitzrayim b'yash ilum. Hashem gave the chein ha'om, and they lent them. So basically, they want now, you have to give us back all of the gold and silver that you borrowed. T'no lonu kesev v'zov, top of the page. Give us the gold and silver that you took away, you borrowed right before going out of Egypt. You borrowed lots of gold and silver from us. Omar Gevia ben Psisa, Gevia ben Psisa says to the Chachamim, Tnu li reshus, give me permission, ve'enlech ve'odun imam, and I will go and judge and argue it out lefnei Alexandrus, in front of Alexander. Im yinatzchuni, if they win a victory over me, imru lahem, say to them, hedyet shebonu nitzachtem, you won a victory over a simple person. If I win a victory over them, imru lahem, tell them, Toiras Moshe Rabbeinu nitzachaschem, the Toir of Moshe Rabbeinu won a victory. Nosdun lo yirishus, they gave him permission. They gave, the Chachomim gave permission to this hunchback, to Gevia ben Psisa. V'holach v'don imohem, and he went and he argued and he debated with them. Omar lohen, Gevia ben Psisa says to the Egyptians, Meheichon atem mevi'in ra'ya, where do you have the proof? You claim that the Jewish people borrowed treasures from the Egyptians, they never returned it. Where do you know they borrowed it? Amru lai, so the Egyptians say, what do you mean? Where we know we borrowed it? We know it from the Torah. Amar lahen afani, layavin lochem raya elemen ha-Torah. I will also prove it to you from the Torah. You guys accept the Torah as a proof. It says in Parshas Bo'i, which we read next Shabbos, a week from this Shabbos, U'mayshav b'nei Yisrael asher yoshuv b'Mitzrayim, the Jewish people lived in Egypt, 430 years, and the Egyptians made us slaves. Give us payment for the 600,000 Jews. You enslaved the Jewish people in Egypt for 430 years. You enslaved the Jewish people. So pay the wages for the 430 years. And then we'll pay whatever we borrowed. Omar Lohen Alexandrus Mukhtar, Alexander the Macedonian, said to the Egyptians, Hechziru Loi Teshuvah, give an answer to Gevia ben Psisa. Omru Loi, so the Egyptians said, Tnolon Uzman Shloisha Yomim, give us 3 days to find the answer. Nosan Lohem Zman, Alexander the Great said, yes, you got 3 days to find the answer. V'loi Motsu Teshuvah, the Egyptians couldn't get an answer. And they knew they'd be in big trouble. And miyad hinichu sudei seim kishen zrois. They left their fields planted. Karmein kishen etuois. Their vineyards were all planted. Ubarchu, and they escaped. And Alexander gave all their fields and all their vineyards to the Jewish people. Vaisa shana. And that year, shnas shviyas haisa, was a Shemitah year. So again, on a Shemitah year, there was abundant food for Jewish people. And now the third court case in the famous court of Alexander the Great. Vishuv pam achas, and another occasion, bo b'nei Yishmael u'b'nei Keturah, lodun im Yisrael lefnei Alexandrus muktan. The people of Yishmael and Keturah came to judge with the Jewish people in the presence of Alexander the Macedonian. Omru loy, they said, Eretz Kanan shelonu v'shelochem. We have the same rights to Canaan as you have. Because why do you have Canaan? Your rights to Israel is because you're descendants of Avraham Avinu. And Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. But Avraham Avinu has more than one son. It says, Ve'ela tolis Yishmael ben Avraham. Avraham is the father of Yishmael. It also says, Ve'ela tolis Yitzchak ben Avraham. These are the children, Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. In the beginning of the story, we mention also the B'nai Keturah. It also says that besides Yitzchak and Yishmael, Avraham had 6 more children in the end of Parsha Chayesara. It says in Chayesara, Perek Chofei, by Yosef Avram, by Yikachishu Shmo Keturah. Avram, after Yitzchak's wedding, he marries a woman called Keturah, which Rashi brings Keturah's Hagar, but still. And he has 6 more children, Zimron, Yokshan, Medon, Midian, Yishbok, Shuach. So according to all this, 7/8 of Israel is ours, and you only have 1/8. Omar lahen Gevia ben Psisa lechachamim. Gevia ben Psisa, that same hunchback, tells the chachamim, Tnu li reshus ve'enlech vodun imohim. Give me permission, and I'll argue it out with them before Alexander the Great. If they win a victory over me, say, Hedyet shibonu nitzachtem. You won against the Hedyet, a simple man. V'mani anatzei achaisim. If I win a victory over them, say, Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah won a victory. So the chachamim gave permission, and he went to debate with them. And Gevia ben Psisa says to the B'nai Yishmael and B'nai Keturah, Omar lahem meheichon atem mevi'in raya. You guys claim you are descendants of Avraham Avinu. From where do you prove that you are descendants of Avraham Avinu? What? From where we prove we're descendants of Avraham Avinu? Take a Chumash, take any Sefer Torah, and you'll see Yishmael ben Avraham, the Keturah, six children, Amru Lois, they say, Min HaTorah. We prove it from your Sefer Torah. Don't you Jews believe in the Torah? Amar Lahen, so Gevia ben Psisa says to them, oh, so you accept the Torah? I'll prove it to you from the Torah as well. It says in the Torah in Parsha Chayesara that Avraham gave everything he had to Yitzchak and to the Bnei HaPilagshim, Asher LaAvraham, to the children of Hagar and Keturah, he gave them matonis. Av Shenosan Agatin, if a father writes Ksovim, if a father makes a will for his children, and he says, I'm giving this to this child and this to this child. So Avraham gave matonis to the Bnei HaPilagshim, to the Yishmael and the Bnei Keturah, and everything else he gave to Yitzchak. He sent one off from the other, and he said, you get this and you get this. Yesh lehem zal zaklum. Can anybody have any claims? This was the father's will. My matonis, what were the matonis that Avraham Avinu gave the Bnei Yishmael and Bnei Keturah, and Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, melamed shemasar lehem shem tumah. He gave them a shem tumah. Now, another fascinating story of Alexander the Great is in Masechta Tomid. Alexander the Great comes to Eretz Yisrael and he asks questions to the elders of Eretz Yisrael, the Ziknei HaNegev, the elders in the south of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara in Tomid says, Asara Devarim Shal Alexandris Mukton Ziknei HaNegev. Alexander the Great has 10 questions that he asked the elders of the south. Amar lahem, the first question he asks, Min hashamayim la'aretz rachayk, ayim mizrach l'marav. What is further? Is it further from heaven to earth or further from east to west? Amru lo'i, so the Ziknei HaNegev answered, mi mizrach l'marav, from east to west is further. How do we know this? Teida sharikama b'mizrach, when the sun is in the east, hakom is taklin, well, you can look at it. Chama b'mayrav, the sun is in the west, hakom is taklin, well. You can look at it. Cham of Emtzarakia, when the sun is directly overhead, Ein HaKoyom Mistaklun, but you can't look at it, which shows that the spot of the sun in the east and the west must be further. Then he says, V'chachomim Oimer, and the Chachomim disagreed with the Ziknei HaNegev. They said, Zevezek Echot Shovim. The distance of east to west and the distance of heaven to earth is the same. And the height of heaven over earth is the same as the distance east and west. The Chadmin Ayunofish, if one of them would be bigger, mentioned that both, like, because he says over there in the Pasuk, just like east is greater than west, just like heaven is higher than earth, so Hashem's ways are higher than ours. Now the Pasuk sometimes says the distance between Hashem's ways and our ways is the distance of heaven to earth, and elsewhere it says in the Pasuk from east to west. If one of them would be bigger, he should have always mentioned the bigger one. What is the reason you can't look at the sun when it's overhead, and yet you can look in the sun when it's in the far east or far west? He says, it's directly overhead, nothing's covering it. When it's in the east or west, there are things blocking a little bit. Omar Lohem, now Alexander the Great's next question is, Shamayim nivru tchila oy ha'aretz. What was created first, the heaven or the earth? So the Ziknei HaNegev answered, Shamayim nivru tchila, the heaven was created first. As it says, Bereish is bara elikim, in the beginning Hashem created, eis ha-shamayim veis ha'aretz, the heaven and the earth. Heaven was created first. Omar lahens, Alexander asks them now, oy nivru tchila oy chayshav, did Hashem first create light or darkness? Omru loy, so the Ziknei HaNegev, the elders of the south said, Dimil sado ein lo peser. This cannot be answered. So the Gemara asks, why is it so difficult? It sounds like an easy question. Then leimru loy, why don't we say based on Chumash? It seems very clear that Chayshech Nivrat Chila, darkness was first. In Bereishis, it says, Bereishis bar elikim eis hashamayim ves oretz. In the beginning, Hashem created the heaven and the earth. Then it says, Ve'oretz ha'isasayu v'avayu, the world was empty and void or chaos, v'chayshech, and there was darkness on the face of the deep water. And then it says, v'yemen elikim yehiyoid. So it seems clearly from the Chumash that first there was darkness and then there was light. So why do the Zikli HaNegev say, we don't know? So the Gemara answers, Savar, the Zikli HaNegev thought, Dilma Asim Lishyuli, if the way he's heading now, he's going to keep asking questions. He's going to ask, Malamayla, Malamata, Malafonim, Malachar, what is above, what is below, what is before, what is after. He's going to come to questions we don't want to answer, and therefore let's stop answering questions now. So then he asks, if you're getting, you don't want to answer his questions, Shamayim Namele Namele. Why'd they tell him that heaven was created before earth? Why didn't they? Because they knew about Oed and Chayshech, and they say, I don't know. So why'd you tell him about heaven and earth? So me caught a sub and akroy ba'almahudakashayel. At first they thought he's only asking one question, but then they saw he's got one after another. He even the chazru the hadar shayel, since they saw that he continues to ask. Savri, they thought, loy namely, better we won't tell him. Why won't we tell him? Kivin the kahadar, if he shoyl, since he asks again, he said, we're afraid he's going to ask malafonim, malachar, what's before, what's after, and because of that, we'd rather not answer. There's no Rashi on Masechta Tamid, it's called a mefarish. Masechta Tamid has a mefarish. We don't know who wrote the mefarish, and the mefarish says Savi Omrule. He's going to come and ask Malamaila Malamata, and therefore better let's tell him now. Let's stop answering these questions now. That he'll stop asking questions from Masei Breishis, which we would rather not discuss. Omar Lahem. Now Alexander Great asks them, a Dayin Miskeri Chakim. Which of you, of all your elders of the south, who was the wisest? Now correction. Who is called generally? Well, who's called wise? Who is wise? Who sees the natural consequence of his actions? Then he asked them a dayan miskari gibor, who is called strong. So they answered him, as it says in Perkei Avos, a zehu gibor, who is strong. Hakayvish is Yitzre, one who captures his yetzahara. Then Omar Lahem, Alexander asks them a dayan mikri usher, who is called rich. So they answered him, Hezehu Asher, who was rich, Hasameach Bechelke, one who was happy with his portion. Then Omar Lahem, Alexander the Great, asks the elders of the south, Ma Yavid Inish V'Yichya, what should a person do if he wants to live a long life? Omru Lei, so they answer him, Yomis Atzmei, he should cause himself to die, which means Yashbil Mis Atzmei, he should be humble. You want to live long, be humble, don't be arrogant. My Yavid Inish V'Yomus, what does a person do if he wants to die and get into trouble? Yechayes Atzmei, give yourself life, meaning Yidbes Atzmei, be arrogant. If you'll be arrogant, everybody will get jealous of you, and they'll make an Ayin Hara, they'll ask Hashem to judge you. They'll be jealous, and that'll cause death. So the Chachamim teach us that if you want to live long, be humble, and people will have mercy on you. And yet you'll live many years, and from Gaiva, a person should stay away from it. That it brings jealousy of people, and jealousy brings judgment. So you won't die before your time. Now, Omar Lohem, Alexander the Great, asks them, "My Yavid Inish V'Yiskabal Al Briyasa. If somebody wants to be popular, what is the solution to be popular with other human beings?" Omru, they answered, "Yisnei Malka V'Shalton. Let him stay away from the king and all rulers." And the Mefarish says, the Iskablu Devarav, if you stay away from royalty, your words will be accepted. The Yevoi say people will like you. Avon Odim Rogil Ladabarim Malachim Besarim, somebody who has connections and he's always speaking to kings and ministers. Miskanin by Bnei Odim, people get jealous of him. Umitoichach Sainim Ise Vesmaisa. Because of that, they hate him and his actions. Omar Lahu, he says to them, Dididi Tava Miditchu, what I say is better than yours. I say Yerachmei Malka V'Shalton. He should be friendly with the king, friendly with the ministers, and use his connection to the government. V'yasu Tivi in Bnei Insha. He should do good with people. He should help people. We're continuing the Gemara. Omar Lahem, he says to them, B'yama Yoyin Lameder, is it better to live in the sea? Or B'yabeshta Yoyin Lameder, or is it better to live on dry land? Omru Lei, so they told him, it's better to live in the dry land, because look, all those who sail in the sea, all the Nechusa Yama, they don't feel calm till they go to the dry land. The fact that sailors feel calm when they go to the dry land, it indicates that dry land is a safer place to live. Then he asks them, which of you is called wise? So they said, we're all equally wise because every single thing that you ask, we answer together. Then he asks them, my Dane is Trisum Lekabli. Why are you guys so stubborn? You refuse to accept our Macedonian Greek religion. Don't you know that we are the majority and we're in control? And you guys are like Tris. Is Trisum is like you put shields and you put defenses. You refuse to accept the general religion of most of the people in Greece, in Macedonia. Amrulay, so they said, it doesn't prove. The fact that the majority keep your religion proves nothing. Satan on Natsach, every single day, the Satan wins. The Satan gets most people do things. People do a lot of stupid things. People overeat, people smoke, people have anger management issues. People do so many stupid things, which everybody knows these things are stupid. And you see, every single day, the Satan gets people to do things which are clearly bad. So there's no big deal if the Satan is getting people to keep your religion, because the Satan gets people to do things that are bad. He hears this, he says, you know what you guys are saying are very dangerous. You're saying that my religion is bad. He says, Ha'ana miktalina l'chayn b'gzeiras ma'uchin. Rashi says, shaitim atim, you guys, not Rashi, the Mefarish, says you guys are idiots that you keep your religion. Because, you know, if I want, I can make a decree to kill you. I'm the king, and I can say all the other kings are friendly with me, and they'll give me permission that all the countries hand over the Jews. I'll kill all the Jews. How can you refuse to accept my kingdom? If you don't accept my religion, I can kill all of you. Amrulay, so they said, you're right. Shilta miyad malka, you have the ability to kill us. But v'loy yoyin l'malka l'dabar kozav. It's not nice for kings to tell lies. When you came to ask us questions, you promised us you wouldn't hurt us. You wouldn't want to lie. A king should not be a liar. Miyad albish yosein levushin dargavon. He put him on purple garments, fancy purple garments, and he gave them gold on their necks. And then he says to them, I want to go, but ina lemezen lemidinas Africa. I want to go to Africa. So they say, you cannot go, you can't go to Africa. There's these dark mountains. Mefarish says, you can't go because it's dark in the middle. There's a place that's dark both day and night. Nobody can go over those mountains. So Alexander says, there's no option that I won't go. I'm for sure going. I'm asking you how I should go. I made a decision to go. What's the best way to go? So the Ziknei HaNegev advise him to bring Chamri Luvoi. These are these big donkeys who come from Egypt, who know how to travel in the dark, and bring these ropes made of kiburi demasni, I'm not sure if it's flax or what it is, and tie these flax ropes as you're traveling through the darkness, and make sure that the whole way there's this flax rope that's following you the whole way. And then when you go, you'll know how to retrace your steps. And then you'll be able to get back to where you came from, even though it's dark. So he did this. He came to the city, which was only women. He wanted to make a battle with them. So he said, if you kill us, people are going to say he won a victory over women. And if we kill you, people will say, what a weak king that a bunch of women won a victory. So either way, the Mefarish says, either way, it's not going to look good for you. If you win, it'll look bad for you. If you lose, it'll look even worse. So it's much better for your dignity that you don't fight us. So then Alexander says to this kingdom of women, bring me some bread. So they brought him golden bread on a golden table, golden plates. So he asks them, do people here eat the golden bread? So he says, they said, no. But inama boys, if you need bread, lehavalach basrach, was there no bread in Greece, Macedonia, wherever you come from? Was there a shortage of bread that you had to come all the way to Africa to get a piece of bread? So we're sure you and I didn't come here for bread. You probably came here because you want to eat some gold and silver. We brought you gold and silver. Sally, Xander, when he went out, he writes on the doors of the province, he says, Ano Alexander Mukdun, I, Alexander the Macedonian, Havis Shakya. I was an idiot until I came to Africa, a country, a province of only women, and these women taught me some wisdom. As Alexander was going, he comes to a well, to a spring. He's eating bread there. He's sitting by the spring and eating bread. And he has guldeni de mulcha, which is salty fish. As he's washing the salty fish, the smell of this well of the spring came on the fish, and this smell was the smell of Gan Eden. So Omar, he says, Shma Minoi, understand from this, Hai Eino Mi Gan Eden Osi. This well must come from Gan Eden. Some say he took the water and washed his face with it. Some say he followed the whole thing until he came to the opening of Gan Eden. He lifted his voice and he said, Pischuli Baba, open the door for me. So they answered him, the Pasuk in Tehillim, we say it in Hallel, Zeh HaShar Hashem, this gate is Hashem's gate. Tzadikim Yavai Yavai. Only Tzadikim can enter this gate. Omar Lahoins, Alexander the Great says, I was also a king. I'm a very important person in planet Earth. Give me something. So they gave him a certain skull. He weighed all his gold and silver, and all the gold and silver that he had didn't add up to the weight of the skull. So he asked the Rabbanan, my high, what's this? How come this skull outweighs everything? And they answered, this is the skull of a human being, of flesh and blood, that he'll never be satisfied. No matter how much gold and silver the human being has, it'll never be enough. So he asks them, Mimai the Hochi, how do we know this is what it is? So he says, take a little bit of earth and cover it, and immediately you'll know the correct weight. As it says, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, She'oil va'avada in loisis bena, the grave and Gehenim are never satisfied. No matter how many people die, down under always wants more and more people to die. And Gehenim also wants more people to come. There's always plenty of room there. And the same thing, ve'ein ehadam loisis bena, the eyes of a human being will never be satisfied. Just one more story before we'll stop, which is a story from Gemara Nedarim, a story about Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol. Generally, he says, Miyomai lo yachalti asham nazir tomei. I never ate the carbon of a nazir who was tomei, because I felt that most people who are nazir are not nazir, don't become a nazir, a Nazirite, because they want to connect Hashem. They become a nazir because they're arrogant. One time a person came from the south. I saw he's good looking. He's got amazing hair. And I said, what made you decide to be a nazir? You have to take a haircut and destroy your hair. What made you decide this? So he says, I was a shepherd for my father. And I went to fill water from the well, and I saw my shadow, and I looked really good. And my good looks were trying to destroy me from the world. I said, you're a good looking guy. You can have whatever you want. I said to myself, I told my Yetzirah, Rasha, you wicked Yetzirah. Why are you arrogant about a world that's not yours? In the end, this body of yours is going to come worms. You know, you're arrogant because of the hair. I'll take the hair and donate it to Hashem. And so this guy, because he didn't want his hair to cause him to sin, he decided to be a nazir for 30 days. And when he finishes his naziros, he shaves it and donates his hair to Hashem. Shimon HaTzadik says, Miyad amadati, I stood up. And I kissed this nazir on his head, and I said, "Bini, kamaycha yirbu nazirin naziris biYisrael. May there be many nazirim amongst Yidden as you." And about you, it says in the pasuk, "Ki yafli linder neder nazir lahazir Hashem." If somebody becomes a nazir for Hashem, and this person clearly became a nazir because he wanted to connect to Hashem.